Played by Rory Kinnear, Patricia was Ruth Wilson, Maudie, Kelly Shirley, and Swanson was Julian Wadham. Flarepath was directed by Jeremy Herrin and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 3.
And that play was first broadcast on Radio 3 in June last year. Well, next Sunday night, another chance to hear Robert Forrest's play based on the early life in Edinburgh of Robert Louis Stevenson. The Strange Case of the Man in the Velvet Jacket is at the later time of 9:20 next Sunday. This Sunday night, it's 10:10 and time for World Roots. And this week, the last of three programmes of highlights from the Darbar Festival of Indian Classical Music, which took place last month at the Purcell Room in London. It's introduced by Lopa Kotari.
The Mexican writer Octavio Paz once described Indian classical music, the raga, as a geometry of sounds that can turn a room into a fountain, a spring, a pool. Well, this weekend at the Darbar Festival, I feel as though I've jumped headfirst into India's sacred river, the Ganges, and it's been bracing, invigorating and soothing, sometimes all at once. In India, music and mythology are closely linked. Each of the gods and goddesses have an instrument associated with them. And for tonight's World Roots, we start by paying homage to the goddess Saraswati, the one who's most closely connected to music, and her instrument is the veena. Chitravina Ravikiran is a Carnatic South Indian musician who at the age of two showed such a gift for music that he was given a fellowship from the Madras Music Academy. Still young, but a lot older than two, he's joined on stage tonight by Jyotsna Srikanth on violin and Yela Venkatesh on mridangam. A piece there called Navtai, played on the Carnatic Veena by Chitravina Ravikiran, and he was joined on stage by Jyotsna Srikanth on violin and Yela Venkatesh on mridangam. Well, Jamila Siddiqui, a regular here at the Durbar Festival and always up for a bit of a natter, was telling me how much things have changed since the days of the Royal Court when music was played in those palatial Durbar halls.
That is the amazing thing about Indian classical music, that antiquity, that classicism it carries has not changed. The performance context has changed radically. It went from being in the elitist courts, the royals, the nobility, the aristocracy, where, you know, you certainly couldn't get in unless you had connections in very high places or you personally knew the courtiers. It just wasn't something for the masses, but the withdrawing of royal patronage brought the music out into the public arena and has now made it a public event. And, you know, unlike the Western music scene, Indian classical music has quite often the same audiences as Indian pop music or Bollywood film music. There isn't a separate tier as you would have for opera. It just doesn't happen. The same people who listen to Asha Bhosle love classical music.
Yeah. But in fact, one of the things that Darbar, to a certain extent, is bringing back from the golden era of music and music recitals is the fact that you have your peer group, you have your artists, you have your musicians and your gurus sitting in an audience, listening to you and participating in a performance.
In that sense, it's very much back to the royal courts, but with the added difference and huge improvement that it's no longer a closed shop. It's something anyone can attend, but it's creating that feeling of where, yes, you are the front rows in Darbar, are sort of totally taken up by people who are counting your every beat and fraction thereof. It's quite intimidating, but the musicians say they love it. They love the fact that the opportunity to play to senior musicians is like a rare event.
Jamila, do you think that the amplification of the instruments and the voices detracts perhaps from the artistry that used to be there? I mean, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, the impact is very different when you have natural sound. We say darbar, we say chamber music, but remember these chambers weren't that small. But somehow musicians were trained to play or to sing, to throw the voice further, and there was more open-throated singing if you listen to antiquated pieces. There is less of that, and of course amplification means that certain, especially string instruments, can employ certain techniques that can still be heard that would not have been heard in the old days.
Yes, I guess some of the refinement, the nuances of
the finer slides, the ornamentations, there's many more you can do because you can be amplified 20 times over.
Well, to a certain extent, it expands the spectrum of mood, of emotion. And that's really what Indian classical music is all about, isn't it? The rags are the moods, the emotions.
Yes, the rag, I mean, a rag has to carry musical notes to be a rag, and the notes have a certain combination. But what really makes a rag is the fact that it's what we call ras. Ras literally means juice. But in the musical context, it means essence or flavoring. So a performance has to be dripping in this juice. I've often heard it said, people come out of concerts and say, that was fine, he was technically flawless, but I didn't sense much ras. So you can be forgiven the odd technical error. You cannot be forgiven not evoking the right ras. This is a music deeply, deeply drenched in emotion.
Shruti Sodolikar, who we're going to hear in a minute, has actually studied quite closely some of the rarer melodies of the Indian music genre.
Yeah, Shruti Sodolikar is one of the best known vocalists of her generation. She's also a highly respected academic and heads the Indian music faculty for a university back in India. She is very true to her training. Now, you know, although the boundaries have been blurring in traditional training, she's trained under what we call the Jaipur Atroli Gharana, which Gharana literally means family, but in this sense, it's like a lineage,
school.
A spiritual school of training. The Jaipur Atroli Gharana are renowned for their very rare rags, most of which are composites. They would take two elements from two very well-known and commonly played rags and create something completely new. But you know, to do that, to tamper with anything like that, you need to have a very solid base. So if you're mixing two rags, you need to be like an absolute expert on both of those, otherwise it can't be done. Because you can imagine, given there are only seven musical notes, every rag, every slide, every journey you make between the notes is going to put you in danger of falling by the wayside into an entirely different rag. There aren't that many notes to play with.
Her style of singing is khayal. That's what she's embraced.
She sings khayal, yeah. Which actually, believe it or not, was the pop music of its time. It was highly controversial. When khayal was developing in the 17th, 18th centuries, you know, people who practiced dhrupad, the older form, were horrified. You know, this was just because it allowed so much leeway, so much it allowed the imagination to play, it allowed ornamentation. It allowed all kinds of things that would have been unthinkable in Drupad, where the musical note is king and the purity of the musical note is the be-all and end-all. Khayal actually is more capable of evoking more of that ras we were talking about, more of that emotional content, because it carries flights of imagination, fancy. It's khayal, which means imagination.
So in a sense, at that time, it was seen as bling. And now it's a bit of a jewel in a crown, isn't it?
Well, it is without a doubt the favorite form of classical vocal music in India.
So let's hear from Shruti Sodolikar herself. Here she is accompanied by Vishwanath Sirodka on tabla, Tanmay Diochike on harmonium, and Murad Ali on sarangi.
Yeah.
Shruti Sadolikar, accompanied by Murad Ali on sarangi, Vishwanath Shirodkar on tabla, Tanmay Diochake on harmonium, and on tanpuras, Ranjana Ghatak and Shobhana Patel. Well, I'm backstage here at the Darbar Festival with Shruti Sadolikar. Tell me, what is it that makes khayal such a popular form of vocal music?
I think the name basically does give you the idea as to what kind of music it is. It is khayal. It is your own imagination, and the very aspect of imagination that is so very personal, how a person develops as a human being, it's all reflected in the style of singing, the experiences that one has gone through. All this makes a lot of difference in the presentation of the raag. So the khayal style is a very individualistic style. At the same time, the person who's singing the raag can take hundreds of people with him to a totally different world.
Now, obviously in Indian classical music, we're hearing gharanas all the time, the different schools, the different lineages of, yes, of music. To the uneducated ear, is it easy to hear the difference between these gharanas?
Every gharana has its own style of looking at the raag. Just as you look at a piece of work on table from the left, and if I'm sitting on the right, I see it in a different way and you see it in a different way. The thing doesn't change. It is the perspective which changes. It's the same with the gharanas.
So what is it about your gharana that perhaps is its trademark, its special touch?
The thing is that the voice production is very open. And like a sentence, the musical sentence is punctuated and marked with certain emphasis on certain notes. And then there is the blending of two ragas when we come to the complex ragas. That one raga starts and you, before you could imagine, it changes to some other raga. And the blend is so very
subtle.
It's very subtle and it is homogeneous.
And so you think that this style really can only be mastered on the direct, the one-to-one, the student, the guru.
Yes, it's a very robust style. It's a very robust style of singing because Allade Khan Saab, who is supposed to be the pioneer of this gharana, he was a Dhrupad singer before he became a khyal singer. And in between, because of strain, he lost his voice for about 2.5 years. And when he got his voice back, it had lost its luster and sweetness that was originally there. So when later on he started thinking about how he wanted to elaborate the raga with the kind of voice that he had newly discovered, then he came up with this idea of using the stress and emphasis on certain notes. Even the tans with the tan patterns are very complicated.
The tans are the phrases.
Yes. Phrases, fast moving phrases, and which are very complicated in nature. But at the same time, all our singing is very, very tightly tied down to the lay pattern that is going underneath. It's a very tightrope kind of situation.
It really is. It's you're walking a very thin line.
Yes.
You perform all over the world and at numerous festivals and, yes. and concerts. What does it mean to be performing at a festival like Darbar?
Well, I'm very particularly happy because this kind of festival where mostly all the artists are attending the programs of other artists, we are staying together, we are getting to meet each other after such a long time. Today I've met some artists almost after the long break of 20 years because all of us are running in different directions. And second thing is that I can see that right from 10 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the night, people are sitting there and listening to music, different kinds of instruments and vocal styles. This certainly shows me hope for the future, that if you can cultivate a taste in the minds of people with this kind of hardcore classical music, well, I don't see that there is any point in people saying, oh, the people are lacking the taste for very, very hardcore classical music and people are going towards the pop and rock and all those things. I totally disapprove and I don't agree with it, because if you give a very substantial and very quality thing to people, people are there to take it.
Yeah.
We lack behind in giving it to people. If you are giving with open arms, people are there to receive you with open arms. And this is what I see in this festival, which makes me very, very happy.
So we say goodbye from this year's Darbar Festival with one final journey into the imagination. Shruti Sadolikar, accompanied by Murad Ali on sarangi, Vishwanath Sirodkar on tabla, Tanmay Diochake on harmonium, and on tanpuras Ranjana Ghatak and Shobhna Patel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shruti Sadolikar performing at the Darbar Festival, which took place last month on the South Bank in London at the Purcell Room. World Roots was presented by Lopa Kotari and produced by Roger Short. Next week, Lucy Duran is in Kenya to record the Maasai singing about the dangers of cattle raiding. And World Roots next Sunday night is at the later time of 10 to 11. This is BBC Radio 3. It's now 11 o'clock. Time for this week's Jazz Lineup, presented by Claire Martin.
Hello, have a listen to this. Phil Robson's Immeasurable Code is our concert set this week, recorded during the band's tour at the Jazz Bar in Edinburgh. And it's a celebration time here at Jazz Lineup as the new BBC Radio 3 New Generation Jazz Artist is announced for 2012 to 2014.
The first sax player that I really, really got into was Wayne Shorter. That was when I was about 17. And previous to that, because I played a lot of piano as well, I listened to a lot of pianists, you know, so I had a massive period of listening to loads of Keith Jarrett. Mm.
It's saxophonist and composer Trish Clues. And as the BBC's piano season continues, Julian Joseph has recorded an exclusive session for us at the BBC Maida Vale Studios. All that on this week's Jazz Lineup. Well, to start us off today, Mick Cody's Synergy brings together five great jazz musicians from the UK, Ireland and the US. New York-based sax man David Binney is joined by the UK's pianist Ivo Neame, saxophonist Michael Buckley, drummer Sean Carpio and with Mick Cody leading on bass. On their debut release, Nine Tales of the Pendulum, seven of the nine tracks are penned by Cody. And you can hear this outfit play at the first Limerick Jazz Festival as part of their album launch tour this month. Let's hear the track Natural Liberating Molecules. synergy with natural liberating molecules from the debut release, Nine Tails.